What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 156 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We are going to be doing a live breakdown of the Seventh Seraph weapons. We covered the ones from the season pass a couple episodes ago. We're going to talk about the carbine, the officer revolver, the sidearm, and the assault weapon, the machine gun. We're going to be talking about all those, doing a live breakdown for you. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kate Kutcher. And how are you doing this evening, Kate?
Well, Mercules, you know, can't complain. Still living that quarantine life here, maintaining my social distance from the world. Doing my best to stay sane and keep life exciting. We're experimenting with home chef, so I'm like cooking for, you know, the only way I know how, with prepackaged ingredients and detailed instructions that include photographs. So it's you know, it's a brave new world here. In the Kutch household, I'll tell you that much. How about you, man?
I'm doing pretty much the same. I'm glad to hear that you're getting into cooking. Cooking is honestly one of life's true joys, and I'm happy to hear that, you know, regardless of whether you're following prepackaged instructions and everything like that, it's still a ton of fun to cook. Cooking is absolutely, among, you know, other things, like I play Destiny and I go to the gym and stuff like that, but one of my truly favorite things to do is to go to the grocery store and like pick out like a really cool meal to make and then come home and cook it. Like, it is truly one of life's great stress relievers. And then obviously you get to eat delicious food after that. So it's like a win-win situation. So I'm glad to hear that you're taking up one of my favorite hobbies.
You know, I'll admit that it's kind of cool when you put the meal together at the end, that it actually sort of resembles the fancy picture that they put on the front of like how it's supposed to look at the end. Like And you can tell where my strengths lie, because the meals that involve like grilling burgers or steaks tend to look a lot closer. The stuffed bell peppers that I made tonight, I mean, you knew what they were, but like, it wasn't nearly as pretty as I expected it to be.
The presentation wasn't all there.
Yeah, if this was Iron Chef, I would have been out. Like, that would have been it for me.
See, it's not all about presentation though, right? Like, I don't go with the presentation. The way I do it is like, if it looks like you can eat it and then it tastes good when you do eat it, it's good enough for me. We don't have any of that fancy presentation stuff. But, you know, I'm not cooking at a restaurant, right? If my girlfriend says that the meal looks bad, well, then she can make her own dinner because I'm cooking for her. So, but she never does. She loves my food. So I think, as far as I know.
The lies all we right. tell. Anyway, yeah. Let's talk about
weapons. Yeah, we don't have any housekeeping tonight, guys. So usually we would read out any iTunes reviews that were left for us. So if you would like us to read out your iTunes review, just leave one on Apple Podcasts. Doesn't have to be a 5-star review, but we do really appreciate the 5-star reviews. It helps us out a lot. And similarly, we do have a Patreon where you can support us. Once the social distancing is done, we also have a backlog of Patreon rewards that we're going to be giving out. We got some really cool whiskey glasses, some t-shirts, stuff like that. Although I think the t-shirts might have actually gone out.
T-shirts I was able to get because I don't have to ship those myself. So I was able to get those ordered and, you know, just like maybe wash them when you get them. If you don't normally wash your clothes after you buy them, which I guess I do.
I don't. I never thought about doing that. I just take them out of the package and then start wearing them.
Yeah, I know
you're
supposed
to wash them beforehand.
You know, it was just one of those things that my parents did, so I do it. Sort of an inherited.
It's probably
habit,
wise,
I guess.
Especially with the current climate. You know,
I mean, normally it's probably overkill, but right now, I mean, it might not be the worst thing you could do. But yeah, those are out, and I think people are already wearing them. So presumably,
send us a picture
kind of, okay,
of you wearing one. If you got
yeah,
one,
I'd love
us
to see those.
And we won't post on social media if you don't want us to, but. I would love to see people wearing them because I didn't get one because Kutch forgot to order a shirt.
I went back and ordered them.
I know, and I appreciate
it's coming.
That.
It's in the mail.
We got a message from one of our Discord guys who was like, "Oh, I love the shirt." And I was like, "Huh, that's weird. Usually we get shirts first." And yeah, I think we remember.
And it was even funnier to me because he's in the UK, and so the shipping for those shirts takes like an extra 2 weeks longer than it does for the US shirts. Our vendor actually has like EU shipping, so it's normally not bad. But the UK is always a little bit longer because it's an island, right? So
and they're not in the EU anymore. So
yeah, officially as of now, we don't have UK specific shipping. Sorry, guys. I know. I was a little worried. I actually put my own name accidentally on the shipping label for that, so I was a little worried I was gonna have to like go rescue it from UK customs. But it worked out. They let it through, so I can, apparently I can beat the UK customs.
Perfect. Good to hear. Maybe they don't have very
Yes.
strict customs rules, but. All right, guys. So we're gonna be talking about these seven seraph weapons. Like I said, there are four of them. There's actually technically six, but they took two of them out and made them season pass rewards, as they have done, to no one's surprise. So we've got three primaries and a heavy weapon. If you don't have anything else you would like to mention, I say we just hop right into it. Gotcha.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with the seventh seraph carbine. It is a precision frame, which is unfortunate because. Compared to the Summoner from Trials, which is an adaptive frame, it just doesn't really stack up. The one benefit it has is slightly better range, and it does have an easier to hit optimal kill crit percentage, but the time to kill is slower both for optimal and body shots.
The other thing worth mentioning is that for PvE specifically, if you're running the Warmind perks, seventh seraph weapons do generate Warmind cells. And the more that I've played with the Warmind cell builds, the more fun that I've had. Very effective options there for PvE. So this is a weapon that plays very well with that. It's got much better range and damage output than some of the other options that you have. So for me, it's been a real go-to specifically for clearing lost sectors, doing the bunker busters, and other PvE activities.
And the one thing I will say about, actually, I'll say a lot of things about these guns, but to start off, these guns were very clearly not designed to be dominant PvP weapons, which is a
Yep.
bummer for me because that's pretty much what I grind guns out for. So unfortunately, they are more PvE focused, which means they're not going to get a lot of high praise from me, but I think you, Kikucha, have a lot more positive thoughts about them than I do.
I mean, it's still pretty mixed for me, to be honest. There are a lot of good weapon choices already available in the PvE sandbox, so these guns have some stiff competition coming in. One thing I would say is, although right now they're not, generally speaking, dominant choices for PvP, still worth chasing some of the good rolls on them, just in case the meta shifts again in another 3 to 6 months, and they may. At that point, you may be glad that you kept them in your vault.
Yeah, I mean, if this was vanilla D2, Seventh Seraph Carbine would probably be meta because
Oh, it'd be the bomb,
Uriel's
yeah.
Gift, which was a precision, was at one point meta. It was a dark, dark time in the world. But the problem is right now, the optimal time to kill is 0.93 seconds. The body shot time to kill is 1.47 seconds. For comparison, the Summoner's optimal time to kill is 0.7, and the body shot is 1.2. So it is more forgiving. It has a higher skill ceiling. The only real benefit you get of Seven Seraph is, like I said, it has better range. The range is above average. It is 62. That's not even great for the precision archetype itself. You've got some precision archetypes like Prosecutor and Braetech Werewolf that are above 70. They're 72 and 73, I believe, respectively. The stability is middling to below average at 45. The reload speed is the same at 47. The handling is the same at 45. The aim assist is the worst out of all auto rifles at 34, which is not super helpful. One
Yeah.
good thing that it does have is 74 is the base recoil direction. Remember that the archetype mod or archetype perk of precisions is that they basically get an intrinsic counterbalance mod. So you know that makes it really nice. The recoil direction is very, very vertical, and then the mag size is 34, which, like all precision and high impact autos, is a small mag size. But they have a slower rate of fire, so it takes, about the same amount of time to burn through that mag size. So overall, statistically, not a super impressive gun. Archetype wise, not a super impressive gun. It's also hard when you have things like Breakneck, that are just kind of better for PvE, all
Yeah.
around. But if you're looking for some interesting roles, for me, I'm gonna try to get as much stability as I can. I'm a console player, I'm a controller player. I just really love stability. You don't need recoil direction, so Chambered Compensator is fine with that plus 10 stability. It also has plus 10 recoil direction, it's overkill. Arrowhead Rake, you're not gonna use because you don't need the plus 30 recoil direction. Fluted Barrel gives plus 5 stability. Polygonal Rifling gives plus 10 stability. And Corkscrew and Small Bore gets plus 7, Corkscrew is plus 5. So I'd probably go with polygonal rifling or chambered compensator, but chambered compensator hurts handling by minus 5, so I'll do polygonal rifling there. As is pretty much tradition at this point for ARs, ricochet rounds is great in the magazine slot. If you're using it for PvE, I'd have to imagine that instead of ricochet rounds, you'd probably want something like flared magwell or appended mag to buff the mag size or increase the reload speed. Would you agree with that, Kutch?
I don't know that additional mags is really necessary. There have been a few occasions when I'm trying to use overload rounds as the mod. I'm trying to burn one of the champions down that I would have liked a few more shots. Flared Magwell probably would be, I think, the optimal choice there. Just increasing the reload speed, I think, would be more helpful than necessarily trying to put extra stuff in the mag, because it also gives you that nice little bump to stability. And I will say that you can kind of feel this gun's generally poor stats. I don't have a great roll on it right now. I really haven't farmed it at all. I just have one that I use so, like I said, solely because it gives me four mind cells. You can definitely tell the poor aim assist, the relatively poor stability. So I'd say a nice bump to stability and better reload would be the optimal choice, in my
Yeah.
experience.
And you could also use something like high caliber rounds, which will flinch targets a little bit more. I mean, that's nice when you're playing higher level PvE content, like, the Grandmaster Nightfalls are coming out and stuff like that. So it'll probably be nice when you can't just burn a target down with a couple shots to the head to force it to flinch. And high cal is actually an underrated perk in PvE, in my opinion. I always really enjoy it when I have it. I just, don't use it a ton.
Yeah, that's actually what I have right now, and it's definitely been helpful at times, because I tend to try to solo the lost sectors. That's kind of, for me, the most fun way to play them. And it's been very helpful to hold the red bars off.
Yep, and then in the first trait slot, we have four times the charm, which is generally a more useful perk on special weapons that you're using for boss damage, in particular sniper rifles. It's a great perk for that. It's not bad on an auto rifle because you're shooting so many shots so quickly that it's pretty easy to hit the four precision hits and then get two rounds back. In particular, it'd probably be pretty useful on Seven Seraph in PvE because if you're not going to buff the mag size and you want to do something like Flared Madwell, it can't hurt to have more shots. Especially when you're shooting a champion and hitting a crit spot, right? Which
Yeah.
it takes a lot of bullets to wind them down. So,
It really does.
four times the charm can help. Autoloading holster is obviously a tier one perk for PvE. Yeah, it's even not a bad perk for PvP, really. Like I have autoloading holster on an Erentyl that I use, and I was remarking actually when I was playing this week with Holden that I've switched to Bastion, and Bastion is pretty much like my main right now. It's really what I'm going with for a number of reasons. We'll probably talk about this in a future episode, but I have autoloading holster on my Erentyl, which I have 6,000 kills with, and I didn't realize how much I liked it until I started switching to Bastion, and I was constantly having to manually reload. Like I would pull Bastion out and then have to reload, right? And it was just killing me so much because my Erentyl, every time I pull it out, it's already reloaded. And I never have to worry about it. So autoloading holster is actually a pretty good perk for PvP too. It's got slide shot. Slide shot would probably be the best perk in this slot for PvP because it will give you a partial reload on your magazine and it also boosts range and stability. The range and stability don't really matter for PvE, but that partial magazine boost or magazine reload might be kind of nice. Threat detector, I don't like threat detector, but there is no denying that for an auto rifle in PvE, it's probably relatively useful. Get increased reload, increased stability, increased handling when enemies are in close proximity. Hipfire grip, 99% useless. Underdog, 99% useless. I would stay away from those two.
Generally, I would generally agree. Vast majority of use cases, yeah, that's going to be the situation. Underdog, the only place it's really come in handy is, like I said, I tend to go and solo the lost sectors a lot, because I just kind of hop on when I have 15 minutes, and I can jump in and run the lost sector by myself real quick. And Underdog has actually been a useful perk for me, because I am, solo. I'm constantly at low health. Because I'm just trying to grind through it as quick as I can. And so it's been helpful to me to get a little additional reload speed there. But the vast majority of situations that you're going to find yourself in, that most people are going to find themselves in, worthless perk. So yeah, I would definitely say fourth times the charm would be my preference. If I could have that for PvE, that'd be stellar.
Yeah, and then in trade slot two, there's actually a lot of good perks in trade slot two.
Can't really go wrong.
Yeah, So, Vorpal Weapon and Swashbuckler are probably going to be my two go-tos, top of the list. Vorpal Weapon, obviously for PvE, it just does way more damage against bosses. In PvP, it does way more damage against Guardians and their super. Basically, the one thing that I will say is for PvP, all of these weapons can roll with Vorpal Weapon, right? So, if you're looking for a gun with Vorpal Weapon to use against supers in PvP, these are good options. That's pretty much the only thing that makes them stand out in PvP. But Vorpal Weapon is great. Basically, not completely, but it basically negates the additional damage resistance that supers have, which can be surprising to someone who's using a super and is used to basically being invincible when they get melted by an auto rifle. Swashbuckler is great for PvE. Obviously, you can melee and go straight to Swashbuckler times 5. It works like a poor man's Rampage as well, where you gain small stacks as you get kills. Then there's normal Rampage, which gains slightly larger stacks as you get kills. There's Elemental Capacitor, which I don't find to be useful other than when you're running a Void subclass and it increases the stability. The reload speed increase is nice, but not enough to where I would really want this perk over Rampage, Swashbuckler, or Vorpal Weapon. If you're okay not having damage boosting perks, you do have the option of Rangefinder and Moving Target. I think Moving Target is a tier one perk in PvP. And Rangefinder will do more than any of the range boosting perks will for your actual effective range because it's basically a zoom magnification change instead of a range stat change. Problem is, again, those two things are pretty much only useful in PvP, and this is not a super strong gun in PvP. So if you get a roll that's like Slide Shot Moving Target or Slide Shot Rangefinder, vault it and hope that at some point in time precisions get a buff.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Basically, the whole reason I kept my carbine was it had swashbuckler, and I was like, all right, I'm set. This is really all I needed.
And I will say it's a super cool, very unique looking gun. And I mean, you mentioned that you love the audio, the sound.
The sound production for the carbine is phenomenal. If you don't play with one, I recommend go in and just shoot in it. Like, seriously, just go shoot a wall or something. Like, it sounds great. Yeah, that's
All right.
the highest praise I have for it.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. They didn't do a great job of putting these guns into very, very powerful archetypes,
Yeah,
right?
it's not a
Like there
bad
are
gun right now. It's just not a good gun.
no, there are archetypes right now that people prefer. Adaptive auto rifles, lightweight hand cannons, adaptive sidearms, adaptive, is it adaptive? Yeah, it's adaptive sub or machine guns, right? None of these are in the preferred archetype. Not a single one. So that hurts right there, but it's not the worst thing ever. Anyways, next up is the Seventh Seraph Officer Revival. Officer Revival. Officer Revolver. Seventh Seraph Officer Revolver. Probably the longest name of any gun in Destiny right now. It is a precision frame hand cannon, which means 180. Think Service Revolver. Think Trust, right? Think Ikelos, the Ikelos hand cannon. Which was actually the one I used to get Lunas, which is quite nice. Let's talk stats. It's got some stats. Unfortunately, like most precisions, the range is not great. The range is at 35. It's actually the worst of all the precision hand cannons that are out there. The next worst is Trust with 37. The stability is okay at 57, slightly above average. Again, pretty much the worst of everything except for Trust and the precision hand cannon archetype. The reload speed is 54, however, which is the highest of all the precision archetypes and is actually above average even for all hand cannons. Handling is 37, again the second lowest of all the precision hand cannons. Really, it's pretty noticeably worse than every other precision hand cannon except for Trust. But then Trust has 10 more aim assist and 12 more recoil direction. So even the one gun that is like close enough to it. Still has better aim assist and recoil direction. It's got 9 in the mag, which is not big, but that's normal for precision hand cannon. So overall, statistically, again, not a super super impressive hand cannon.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the biggest thing it has going for it is that precisions may come back, and it has a few pretty decent perk options available to it, including some perk options that I guess I haven't really seen a whole lot on hand cannons, and maybe I just haven't looked hard enough. But I think it's got some potential to be pretty decent if precision hand cannons came back at some point. But yeah, right now they're just not fast enough.
Well, unfortunately, the only way a precision hand cannon is going to come back into the meta is if there's one that can three tap again, right? And if you make it three tap, it suddenly has a 0.67, TTK, which is really, really fast. And that would be good. That would be a meta gun right there. 0.67 is about the fastest any of the primaries in this game can kill at this point. So it would put it, right up there as one of the best guns in the game. Right now, I think they're actually in a fine spot for what they are, right? Like, they are, if you recall, 180 scout rifles in D1, like Hung Jury. They killed in two crits and two body shots, which was super, super easy to do, right? And they were really, really forgiving, but the time to kill was a second, which is not very fast. And because of that, they were used a lot by not super great players because they were the easiest guns to get a four tap kill with, but the time to kill was pretty slow. That's kind of where precisions are at right now. They're super, super easy to use, really, really forgiving. Time to kill is pretty slow. And so I'm kind of okay with that because otherwise, if you make them a three tap kill, you basically have to neuter aim assist. Otherwise, they would be ubiquitous. They'd be the only thing that people would use because they'd be so easy because they have by far the best recoil patterns of any hand cannons. They're basically sidearms. Like, I really actually think that's what it is. I think it's a sidearm recoil pattern on a hand cannon. So for barrel perks, you can still try to increase range if you like. No one's going to fault you for that. Obviously, range has less of an effect on hand cannons now than it did before, and precisions already don't really have great range, so trying to max the range out isn't going to help you a ton. I personally prefer stability. I'm never engaging with precision hand cannons at ridiculous ranges where I feel like I need it. So I would go with chambered compensator, because it gives you plus 10 to recoil, which is going to push the recoil direction up to 94, which in my opinion is perfect, and it's going to give you plus 10 stability. So chambered compensator is my go-to. You could also use something like oh geez, what is it? Extended barrel, if you really, really want range, because that also gives you plus 10 to recoil. If you don't want those two, it would be either polygonal rifling for stability, or I believe hammer forged rifling for just plus 10 to range. Obviously, small bore corkscrew
Yeah,
rifling
I
are
was
there
going to
as
say
well.
there's solidly half the barrels are at the very least acceptable in terms of giving you some kind of buff to stability or range.
Yeah, and if you do get a buff to range in the barrel thing, then for the rounds, you can always go with steady rounds, which gives you plus 15 stability, but takes away 5 range. So you can kind of mix and match stuff like that and help it out. I would stay away from extended mag, even though I think it buffs the magazine size up to 11. The reload speed is just absolutely destroyed and makes it really, really a pain if you don't have a reload speed perk, which you can get. There are some reload speed perks on it. But, if you really want to increase mag size, go with a pendant mag or maybe tactical mag. I don't know if tactical mag actually buffs the mag size by one. I know it kind of is funky on some guns. I think it does, so I think it brings the mag size up to 10 on this. You could also use drop mag for PvP because you're never going to run out of primary ammo, and it basically gives you feeding frenzy anytime you reload. Accurized rounds is nice. Like I said, I don't think you need it. I would even take flared magwell
Flared
over
Magwell's pretty
accurized
solid,
rounds, so.
especially if you end up with a range barrel. That can be a great choice to kind of balance things out. And hand cannons always need more reload speed.
Yep, and then unfortunately, the first trait slot again. I mean, geez, man, for PvP, shoot, firmly planted, I
I was
guess.
gonna say, I think firmly planted is it could be kind of a like a little bit of a sleeper there as far as a strong perk, because this is a weapon that's gonna require you to get closer than a lot of people are right now. And so if you're able to kind of sneak up and get the drop on somebody, slide in to a room, firmly planted, I think is gonna make it really easy for you to land those headshots. The gun's already really easy to hit headshots with. This should make it impossible for you to miss the four tap.
It's just hard because that kind of takes away part of what makes hand cannons powerful, which is the ability to move in and
It's
out of
true.
cover and the ability to be accurate in the air.
It's
So
true.
it like kind of sucks because I like firmly planted on guns like auto rifles because you have to maintain line of sight, right? So you might as well slide in there and just start, firing down. But, for PvE, you've got Ambitious Assassin, which is pretty good, not bad. You've got four times the charm, which I'm not as much of a fan of four times a charm on this gun, although you do need the extra two rounds, right? Like when you hit four headshots on this. But, I guess you would use it the same way you'd use Seven Seraph Carbine on a champion
Exactly.
and hit four headshots and get him back. So I could see the utility of that.
Now, I wanted to just throw this out there, but you might choose just as a challenge to go with four times the charm in PvP because it's going to reward you when you land those four crits and get the kill.
That is true.
It's just, it's sort of a personal challenge.
You know, that's something that I love. I used to run triple tap. And so this is one of the things we should have talked about last week where they're saying, how do you practice, right? But I used to have practice guns. They were the archetype of the guns that I played competitively with, but they had triple tap and Firefly on them. Firefly, I guess it was Firefly back then. Firefly for my sniper, and then triple tap and Firefly for my scout rifle. So triple tap activates when you hit three headshots in a row, and then Firefly activates when you get a precision kill. And so when I would go into warm up, I would switch to those two guns, and it was a scout rifle and a sniper, and I would try to activate triple tap on my scout rifle and Firefly as often as I could, and I would try to activate Firefly as often as I could on my sniper, right? And I felt like that, it was like Grunt Birthday Party in Halo, where you get the little reward for shooting the grunt in the head and he bursts into confetti and cheers, right? Like it's a little positive, affirmation every single time you do what you're supposed to do, which is getting a precision kill. So I really like that. In this gun, it is the same. If you use four times the charm in PvP, you get four headshots, you'll get two rounds back. Positive affirmation. I don't know how much it'll, work in this game, but you might just get killed a bunch beforehand.
Gonna be pretty difficult, not gonna lie, right now. Gonna be an uphill battle. But there it is.
And then for PvE, threat detector, we talked about that last time. It's an okay perk. It's better for short range weapons, which this is a short range weapon. Pulse monitor is pretty terrible in general, and underdog is again pretty terrible, so I would stay away from those two.
Yeah. And then the last column kind of gives you some options around, well, it's kind of all over the place to be honest, but it has Vorpal Weapon, which
Yep.
is probably, the perk to grab if you're looking for a hand cannon to use to gun down supers. This is the hand cannon that has Vorpal Weapon.
Yeah, so basically, if you wanted a hand-to-hand with Vorpal Weapon, get this one.
Yeah, I can't say, I mean, any of the other perks you can kind of pick up, like Feeding Frenzy if you need more reload speed. That's about the only other one that's really worth mentioning, to be honest. I
Mean,
guess
multi-kill clip is useful,
it's not nothing, but you have to already have good reload speed, which I guess you could if you really specced into this gun with mods and stuff, multi-kill clip could be playable. It's not great, but it's certainly usable.
High impact reserves is basically useless for,
Yeah.
I wonder. I mean, I guess maybe against higher resiliences, it could bring the gun down from a three crit one body to a two crit two body.
But only in the back half of the magazine.
So
So
that's pretty much useless, I think. Timed payload is god freaking awful,
it's
man.
horrible.
I got a gun with timed payload the other day, and I was trying it out because I was thinking, maybe because the percentage of explosive damage to bullet damage is changed, maybe it will be better at longer range. The problem is that there's a freaking delay because it's timed payload up between you hitting someone and it exploding, right? So the benefit to that is it makes their flinch really wonky that they're taking because there's two flinches, right? There's the initial flinch of being hit, and then there's a secondary flinch of the. But the problem is that it takes longer to do the damage, so it ends up slowing down your time to kill. Right, so I just could not make it work no matter how much I tried. I felt like it was dramatically slowing down my ability to kill people with the gun. So I hate timed payload. And then osmosis. Also, osmosis is a thing for PvE content. Osmosis to me is a useless freaking perk. And like half the time, I don't even want the gun to change damage types. And then it does change damage types. Or it literally has no effect at all, right? Like it literally doesn't matter at all. So I this osmosis frustrates me as a perk, and even though it probably shouldn't.
Like, yeah, so I mean it has a place probably in PvE builds, but right now, like, you can just basically run Hardlight, and if you need to change damage types, you're covered, and it's has no damage drop off, and it's in a phenomenal place. So the Osmosis is sort of a wasted perk on any gun right now.
It's like they were trying to do this like super spec build type thing where like you get this extra bit of one type of damage. But at the same time, it's like, well, that requires me to be running the appropriate subclass to match my gun. It's another thing where it's like, I don't want to match my subclass to my gun,
Yeah,
right?
you can use it in strikes. Like it's probably beneficial in strikes if you need, if you want to be doing max damage and getting through it as quick as possible. It's a solar strike. You run your solar subclass and your Osmosis Officer Revolver, I guess, is then also solar after you throw your grenade. Which isn't, I mean, it's not useless, but it's very specific scenarios where it's useful. So it really, if that's the way you're playing the game, then I guess this is the perk for you. But I think for the majority of people, just, look for Vorpal Weapon.
You know, I don't know if we mentioned it, but both these, the Seventh Seraph Carbine and the Officer Revolver are both kinetic weapons.
Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned that on the last thing. So, yeah, so don't super highly recommend it. It does look really cool, though, just like the Seventh Seraph Carbine. It's a very good looking gun. Next up is the Seventh Seraph SI-2, which is the sidearm. It is a lightweight sidearm, so for lightweights, unfortunately, it is not an adaptive. Which the adaptive is like Drang, and I think Drang is probably one of the most popular right now. Buzzard, the old Vanguard Pinnacle, is also in there. However, I will say that lightweights aren't actually that bad. Anonymous Autumn is probably the one that people see most often. It's the Crucible sidearm. It's the one that kills me, I think, more than any other sidearm in the Crucible right now. It's got a 0.67 time to kill, optimal, 3 crits, 2 bodies, super easy to hit. Super, super easy to hit. And then the body shot time to kill is 1 second flat with 7 bodies. It's not quite as good, in my opinion, as something like Traveler's Judgment 5 or The Last Dance or The Last Hope. It's not even really as good as some stuff like, I think like Smuggler's Word and Breachlight and Death by Scorn are pretty good because you can basically just kill people with body shots. 3 bursts of the body will kill someone, right? In 0.83 seconds, which is pretty fast. But I will say the optimal time to kill at 0.67 seconds is pretty quick, especially compared to other primaries.
Yeah, and the comparison to Anonymous Autumn is really a pretty rough one because Anonymous Autumn is unquestionably the best in class, I think, for the lightweight sidearm. So, 7th Seraph SI-2 has 24 range to 32 on Autumn, 42 base stability to 50 on Autumn. And other than that, they basically match up. The SI-2 has a few extra, a couple of stat points above in reload speed, handling, one extra in aim assist, slightly less vertical recoil direction. So, I mean, it's a pretty rough comparison just based on stats.
Yeah, unfortunately, the 7th Seraph SI-2 has the lowest in class range and the lowest in class stability. So,
Yeah.
those are not two great things on a sidearm, especially a rapid fire lightweight sidearm. Sorry, it's not actually the rapid fire class, but it does have a 360 RPM, which is relatively fast. For the single fires, it is the fastest single fire sidearm. And yeah, the problem is that it doesn't have great stability, it doesn't have great range, and you know, it doesn't have a great body shot time to kill. I mean, 1 second flat is the slowest of all the sidearms' body shot time to kill, with the exception of the Omalon adapters. The Omalon adapters, you're almost never going to hit a pure body shot time to kill, right? So the only way it takes that long with an Omalon adapter is if you literally don't hit a single crit. And if you don't hit a single crit, then it will take the first shot of a fourth burst. But if you hit even one crit with the Omalon adapters, you will get a 3 burst body shot TTK, which is significantly faster. You know, it is what it is. And like you said, I mean, if I had to pick between Anonymous Autumn or this one, I'd pick a well-rolled Anonymous Autumn anytime. But you know, regardless of that, for sidearms, especially lightweights, it doesn't matter what you do to range stat. You know, at least on console, it's not really gonna help. I would personally just straight up buff recoil, and I would probably go with just polygonal rifling or chambered compensator, small bore, corkscrew rifling in that order. If you do get range, congrats. It's going to give you literally less than half a meter of additional damage fall off. It's really not going to help. For then the mag, I'm probably going to go with steady rounds. I might also do flared magwell or tactical mag. And then for the traits, it does have full auto trigger system, which is nice, you know, on a 360
That's
rate of fire. It's kind of interesting to have that.
usable for sure. I think Demolitionist in general is a really handy perk to have on any gun right now. There's a lot of ways to use that.
It's better than Grenadier, and I liked Grenadier in D1
Yeah.
because you really notice. Granted, Grenadier works much, much better on a primary, and I understand why they gave it the ability to throw a grenade, reloads its weapon for reserves. It's probably not great unless this is your main weapon, but if you are using it as your main weapon, you will notice how much faster your grenade comes back. Like it is substantial. Threat detector is good on a sidearm. I'll give them that. Auto-loading holster also good on a sidearm. Field prep. I mean, I don't know why you would use field prep on a sidearm at all. That just seems ridiculous because it's increased ammo reserves. You don't need increased ammo reserves on a sidearm. You don't really need faster reload stone ready speed when you're crouching on a sidearm either. But and it's also got hipfire grip. Hipfire grip. Sidearms are already really accurate hip firing. If you stick this on there, it will feel a little bit stickier and a little bit more accurate hip firing, which is nice. I probably still wouldn't make that my preferred choice, just because I don't really find myself hip firing sidearms outside of panic situations that often, and I'd much rather have something, you know, that's going to help me more often. I hesitate to say full auto trigger system because I really don't recommend full auto when I feel like I could max the rate of fire manually, which 360 is like right up there with being like, I think at 360, you probably may struggle a little bit to get the perfect timing down spamming the trigger.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of a toss-up. I think that really kind of goes to individual preference. It's super easy to get a hold of an anonymous autom if you want to know what it feels like to shoot one of these guns. So just, go play a bunch of Crucible and you're bound to get one.
So I think the way I look at it is like my limit for how fast I think I can single fire a gun is about rapid fire scout rifles. Rapid fire scout rifles at like 260 were about in D1 where I was like, I feel like I could use full auto because I am not getting the maximum rate of fire out of this gun as consistently as I would like. So I
Yeah.
will say that I think full auto on the lightweight is probably a good choice. You know, I wouldn't say no to hip fire or demolitionist. You know, it's actually not as bad. Now, what I will say is that threat detector works super, super well with a perk in the last column, which is surrounded. So surrounded is a great PvE perk. It gives bonus damage when three or more enemies are in close proximity, and wonderful, threat detector also triggers when those enemies are in close proximity. So you can have increased reload stability and handling and increased damage when enemies are close by. And when you're using a lightweight sidearm, enemies are always going to be close by. So I do really, really like that combo for PvE.
I mean, it's definitely a good combo. I think honestly though, you're still in PvE much better off with Demolitionist because you can never throw enough grenades. And especially right now, the Warmind artifact perks really like make throwing grenades extremely rewarding. So I guess I just want to pitch again. I think I mentioned this last week, but the arc perk options, I'm running Lightning Strikes twice, which is after throwing an arc grenade and gain increased grenade recharge for a short time. Arc final blows extend the duration of this benefit. And then on the helmet, Tyrant Surge, which is dealing damage with arc melee, super, and grenade ability, spawns a Warmind cell. So that's just dealing damage. So you basically, if you're running Arc, you've got some ability to get more than one grenade. You can just endlessly spam grenades. And anytime you happen to run out, you've got a Demolitionist weapon that you can use to get more grenade energy. So it's an extremely rewarding build in PvE to go with a Demolitionist weapon. That said, this is not the best weapon you can get with Demolitionist. Unfortunately, probably your best option right now is to get something like Arc Logic from the Moon. Or, I mean, there are a number of weapons that have it, but if you're gonna go with a sidearm in PvE, I think Demolitionist is gotta be my strong recommendation.
Nice. For PvP, there's also Vorpal Weapon. Vorpal Weapon and Full Auto Trigger System would definitely make for an interesting super melting sidearm. The problem is that you're using a lightweight sidearm, which means you're probably within 10 meters of someone, which means that you are at extremely high risk from any of the, you know, roaming supers killing you. So It is probably very, very fun to do correctly and probably very, very difficult to do correctly. Dragonfly, probably pretty useless. I don't know a ton of people that are aiming for precision kills with the sidearms, although you can, and it's probably relatively rewarding again. That's pretty fun. Elemental Capacitor, pretty useless unless you're using Void. Snapshot Sights, totally useless on a sidearm. Zen Moment, nearly useless on a sidearm. So I'm gonna have to recommend Vorpal Weapon as the best PvP perk, which isn't which isn't saying a lot. I mean, I'll try to get one of these with full auto Vorpal Weapon and see if I can't get some super kills with it. But dear God, man, being within 10 meters with a Night Stalker or an Arc Strider, that's one trigger pull away from them evaporating you with the lunge distance that those things have.
You're definitely going to have to be like pre-firing that into them from well beyond optimal range to have a chance. I mean, if you tend to run Void a lot, Elemental Capacitor is probably a good option. And if you're going to run Void anyway, it is a pretty hefty stability bonus. So, that there's that.
Yep, absolutely. Next up, we have the Seventh Seraph Saul. This is the gun that I'm actually probably most excited about. Unfortunately, high impact machine guns are not really, really super prevalent. The ones we have now are Bane of Sorrow and Fixed Odds. One comes from the Crown of Sorrow raid. One comes from the Menagerie. The only place I really, really see these things is Gambit. Where people basically use them like high impact scout rifles and they single shot pick people off from a crazy distance when they're invading. I will admit they are really, really good at that. Unfortunately, the Seventh Seraph Saul does not have tremendously great stats. 66 range is okay, that's on par with Fixed Odds. 30 stability is bad. The one thing I will say is that their stability, although it is low, the rate of fire is very, very slow. So there is a. There's a decent amount of resetting for a full auto gun that it does in between. It's not like you have a 30 stability and a 900 RPM where it's, blasting off all over the place. Reload speed is 38, which is very slow. Aim assist is 30, which is horrendously low. Recoil direction is 41, which I think is actually the worst recoil direction I've ever seen in the game. It's basically more horizontal than it is vertical, which is terrible. The inventory is 40, which is actually above average. The mag size is 43, which is probably the biggest thing that it has going for it. Out of the high impact class, that's 8 higher than the Fixed Odds, which is 35, and 5 higher than the Bane of Sorrow, which is 38. So that's a good thing because if you're going to be using this gun, you're going to be using it for boss damage. That is what it is great at, be it in Gambit or be it in raids. It is not probably going to stack up with a firing line. Was it firing line? Is it line in the sand? Or is that the linear fusion rifle? It's probably not going to stack up with that or some of the other, optimal DPS combinations out there, but you never know what will happen to machine guns in the future. So what I will say is, me personally, I'm still going to go with stability. Even though the rate of fire is so slow, range isn't going to help you really at all when the range is already 66. So I'm going to go with stability, and I'm definitely going to go with Chambered Compensator because the recoil direction is 41. I would really even say that Arrowhead Break is okay on this one. Because Arrowhead Break's gonna push it up to 71, which will make it a lot easier to control, and it might do more for you to have 30 additional recoil direction than it will to have 10 additional stability, especially when you can get ricochet rounds in the second slot and buff the stability by 10. Of course, you could always use Chambered Compensator and a counterbalance mod, but on my heavy machine guns, I wanna use a backup mag mod instead. And then you could go with Appended Mag, or you could go with Flared Magwell. Flared Magwell might be a great option. I probably would stay away from extended mag. Light mag is okay. It increases range instead of increasing stability. So I would definitely take flared magwell over light mag. So the options there, appended mag, flared magwell, ricochet rounds are the big ones that I would go with, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The next column is really, I think, mostly exciting for the first possible perk option there, which is Clown Cartridge. Which I think is for me definitely the perk that I would be looking for in that column. You've also got auto-loading holster, like you've said before. It can be a very handy perk. Not going to help you in PvP, but in PvE, it's very useful to have your machine gun reload itself because that is kind of a pain in the butt. Field prep also very useful in PvE, not going to help you in PvP. Zen moment is really, it's not going to help you here unless you're taking on multiple opponents in a very short span of time. So,
The thing is, it's really the only perk that you can use for PvP because
yeah.
Grave Robber's not going to help, Field Prep's not going to help. Although, actually, I take that back. So, Field Prep might help because if it changes the inventory enough, you will get additional bullets when you pick up a heavy brick. So, that Field Prep may help
It
there.
does nearly double the inventory. So it may well give you, because it takes it from 40 to 70, so it may well give you some extra rounds.
So, I will say, because Clown Cartridge, you're never going to have enough to reload.
Yeah.
Autoloading Holster, you're never going to have bullets to reload. Grave Robber, you're never going to melee someone to reload because you're never going to have reserves, right? So, three of the perks right there are straight up useless for PvP. Zen Moment will help you if you're engaging multiple targets. And then Field Prep will help you if it can give you extra shots. So, it really kind of narrows down what you can use.
Yeah, it's sort of a weak column for PvP, unfortunately. But it does have in the final column Vorpal Weapon
Hooray.
and Opening Shot, so a couple of good options there for PvP.
I mean, opening shot, unfortunately, it takes what? 4 shots to kill? Does it take 5? It takes 4 crits to kill. So opening shot is more useful here than it probably would be on a lot of other guns. Like a lot of times you'll see like opening shot on, guns that take 6 or 7 shots to kill. And it's like, well, that doesn't really help that much because your one shot isn't, tap the trigger would be more useful on something like that, where it lasts for a number of shots. So opening shot is pretty good there. It's especially good if you're trying to use it as a long range scout rifle and Gambit. I will give it
Yeah.
that. For PvP, also elemental capacitor, if you're on a void subclass, that will be pretty helpful to have the increased stability. For PvE, elemental capacitor, if you're on a solar subclass, will help you with the reload speed, which is nice. But really, for PvE, you're going to be looking for firing line because firing line is like a 25% damage bonus when you're standing next to precision damage when you're standing next to two or more allies, which is tremendously huge for boss DPS. And then Vorpal Weapon is, I think, a 7.5% damage bonus, but you don't have to be standing next to anyone. So firing line is definitely tier one for PvE. Vorpal Weapon is tier two, and PvP. Excuse me. In PvP, it's going to be Vorpal Weapon, Elemental Capacitor if you're Void, and then Opening Shot. Mulligan is useful-ish. I mean, probably more useful in PvP where you're more likely to be
Yeah.
missing a shot, but still not super useful. Disruption Break is basically not at all useful because you're using a heavy weapon, so please don't swap to a different gun when you are, unless you're really, really trying to conserve ammo. Then you can break a shield, swap to a kinetic, and use it. But I don't find Disruption Break to be tremendously useful. In PvP, it's not useful at all because by the time you break their shield, you're going to kill them. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and on in PvE, it's on a heavy weapon, so either you're gonna kill whatever you're shooting like within a half second, or I don't know. Like you said, I guess if you're really conserving ammo, it's an option. But I think you're better off focusing on the boss DPS perks for PvE, regardless.
All right, well, that's it. That's the 7 Seraph weapons, guys. Unfortunately, not a tremendously exciting group of weapons. They've got some unique combinations, some cool perks. There could be some fun play styles in them, but not quite as good as some of the weapons that we talked about in the past. The ones that came from the obelisks, I think were a little bit better than this, and the trials weapons are pretty significantly better than this. So we will probably do a massive breakdown of trials weapons at some point here in the future. I absolutely want to be talking about Bastion for an episode once I do some more testing on it because I really want to get some hard numbers and stuff like that. But yeah, that's pretty much for this episode. Kutch, you got anything else you want to add?
I guess I'll just throw some notes out there. Unfortunately, right now it looks like there's no real endless way to farm these weapons. So if you are interested in farming any of them, it's a bit of a grind, because you've got to get those encrypted war mine bits, which you can only get as rewards from the bounties and the various playlists and completing the challenges. Obviously, super important to finish getting all of the reward buffs done on your bunkers. You can get more of those, but ultimately, even if you're farming on all three characters, you're going to be fairly limited in the number of guns you can get per week. So if you're trying to farm optimal rolls on all of these, it is going to be tough. And that's just kind of the way it is. So just if you're wondering, you're not missing anything. Encrypted Wormine bits are a very limited currency.
All right, well, there you go. There you have it, guys. That's the Seven Seraph weapons. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Massive Breakdown Podcast, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Peace.